Well, you guys sound good this morning. Lots of energy and worship. My name's Tim Jones. If we haven't had the chance to meet, I serve as the executive pastor here at North Webster Church of God. And if you're a guest with us, we want to say thanks for being here, even if it's only for the summer. I'm glad that you've chosen to be here with us this day. One of the ways we can get to know you, if you are a guest, if you would like to know more about us, you can text the word guest to the number on the screen. If you'd like to make it a little simpler, you can go outside of these doors and just talk with somebody at our guest service center. But that helps us get to know you a little bit, share some information so that we can help you get plugged into what's going on here at North Webster Church of God. One announcement before we go on with the message today is we're getting closer to our all-church picnic, which is on August the 27th. And at this picnic, we usually do a lake baptism. And so if you'd like to be baptized or if you've been thinking about baptism, you can sign up for our preparation class. We have one on August the 6th for adults during the 9:30 service. You can sign up for that class either online at our website or back at the guest service center. And then we're also doing a class for children on August the 13th. So if you'd like to participate or even if you'd like to know more about baptism, you can sign up for that class. It's going to be an awesome day at the church picnic. One last thing before we get going, if you'd like to take notes for our messages, we do offer printed notes. They're on the tables outside the worship center. We also have digital notes that are available inside our mobile app. Well, as we get going today, we're going to talk about a question that has been just rattling around inside of me for a few weeks now, maybe even months. And the question is this. It's a question I'm going to ask you to wrestle with this morning. It is, what does it mean to be available to God? What does it mean to be available for Him, whatever He would ask you to do? We're going to look at a Bible character this morning from the book of Isaiah as well and how he answered that question about being available for God. But I want you to be thinking about it. What does it mean to be available for Him? Not this last week, but the week prior, we took 18 middle school students to a camp down at Indiana Wesleyan University with an organization called Christ in Youth. There was over 1,000 middle school students at this particular event, and we had several people in our church praying for this group of students that went. Thank you, Jesus. We needed that. And out of the group, three of them are actually my own boys, so it was a cool time to be there. But I wondered, it's been a few years since I've been on a youth trip this long. I wondered, could I still do it? Can I go on a lack of sleep? Can I deal with sleeping in close proximity to middle school students? Could I do it? And the answer is yes, I had a great time on that trip. Both Jairus and my wife and I went, were chaperones. But we had an awesome time during this trip. And I wanted to share with you that we had one student on the trip that gave his life to Christ for the very first time. It was a, yes, please applaud. It was awesome. I didn't know where this student was at with his understanding of God or his relationship with Jesus. He's kind of a quiet student. But on one of the last services, the call was clear. You know, if you wanted to accept Jesus and fully commit to Him, then please stand up. And I was shocked, surprised, excited when he stood up and went forward. That was an exciting moment. We had seven or more of these students also recommit or rededicate their lives to Jesus and whatever their understanding was, just saying they're ready to take the next step closer to Him. And then we had almost all of our group, all 18, say, you know what? We believe God is calling us to be kingdom workers. We want to be a kingdom worker. And basically that meant as they come back to their regular lives, they're willing to just live for Jesus, live out their faith. And they gave them some practical ways to do that. But it was an exciting time to be there, both encouraging for me to watch them and what God was doing in their life. But the one message that God kept bringing back to me, which goes along with our question today, is God was telling me, Tim, that I want you to be even more available to what I want you to do. So the message that I was hearing from God during this week while hanging out with middle school students was, I need to make myself more available to God to use in whatever way He would want. And so to kind of get us thinking in that direction, I wanted to tell you just a brief overview of my story of being a Christian. I became a Christian at the age of 9. I learned all the children's Bible stories. I memorized all the scripture. I went to all the camps and the Sunday school classes. I volunteered. Anytime the doors were open at the church, our family was there. But I want to be clear about one thing. I was not a super Christian at this moment. at a 9 or 10 or 11 or 12, I wasn't a super Christian. In fact, my youth leaders and my Sunday school teachers probably were a little annoyed at the Jones boys. We weren't bad kids, but we weren't good kids. We just liked having a good time. And guess what? We didn't have an option whether we went. We just went to church. There probably was a lack of spiritual maturity and Christian character, but we were there. And so as I grew up in my faith and became more seriously about being available to God, I sensed that God was calling me to be a pastor. In fact, to be a youth pastor. And so through a simple decision of faith, looking back on that, I left all of my friends and family in Wyoming and attended Bible college in Oklahoma City. This was a big step. It was 14 hours from where I grew up. I didn't know anybody at this college, but I went because I believe God was calling me to take this step. So fast forward just a couple years into Bible college, I was given an opportunity to attend a summer internship down in Florida at a particular church. I turned that down because I wanted to go back to Wyoming and spend time with my friends and my family. And in hindsight, that was the wrong decision. It was a big mistake for me to do that. And so I said to God the next year, if you open up a door, an opportunity for me to take an internship, I'll go wherever you want. And wouldn't you know, God took me at my word, at my promise. I got a phone call. It was inviting me to consider an internship out in Akron, Ohio at the Arlington Church of God, of which I didn't know anybody. I knew in advance that this was a predominantly black congregation of 1,500 people. And when I got there, I realized I was the only white male there. And it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. It was life-changing. But because I had already said in advance to God, I will go anywhere, then when I took that phone call, the answer was yes, I will take that internship, and so I went. And so going into my senior year of college, fast-forwarding a little bit more through that senior year, I didn't have a strong idea of where I was going to do after graduation. You know, obviously I would be looking for a job, but I didn't know where, I didn't know when. And so in March of that year, I decided to take a quick trip from Oklahoma back to Wyoming. And it was 14 hours. I remember leaving on a Thursday night, driving through the night, getting into Wyoming, Casper, sometime Friday. I probably slept a little bit, ended up hanging out, praying, discussing with some friends and family, going to church on a Sunday, then to drive back Sunday night all the way through the night just to make my 8 o'clock class on Monday morning, which was a ridiculous idea. But I made it. And I was praying that whole weekend, God, I want to be available to you. What is it that you want me to do? I remember having three options in my mind at that time. One is I could stay for one more semester at Mid-America and play college soccer. It sounded awesome. It was fun. I wasn't the greatest, but that was an option. I still had 1 year of college eligibility. Another option was to go back to Wyoming and take what would be a future assistant pastor, youth pastor intern, or youth pastor position back in Casper, Wyoming. But when I took my trip back to Wyoming, there was two things that were clear. God didn't want me to go back to Wyoming because I'd already kind of been there. I already knew what that was about. And God didn't want me to stay at Mid-America and play soccer. And so I knew that I needed to consider putting my name out there to look for a job. So 2 days later, no joke, I'm walking down one of the halls at Mid-America and a professor comes up to me and says, Tim, what are you doing after graduation? And I said, I have no idea. And they said, well, what's your major? Well, I'm a youth pastor major. Do you want to be a youth pastor? Yes, I do. So she says, well, my son-in-law's church down in Houston is looking for a youth pastor. They have been for 2 years. Would you be interested in interviewing? And I said, well, yes, I would, because I'd already made myself available wherever God would take. And so she pulls out her phone. We're walking down the hallway. She calls her son-in-law, who's sitting in a team meeting with my future senior pastor, and says, here's the senior pastor. Let's talk. Do your phone interview while I'm walking down the hallway at 8:30 in the morning, not awake. And wouldn't you know, weeks later, after graduation, I ended up moving down to Houston and taking my first youth pastor job down in Houston. I was down in Houston for 7 years, met my lovely wife, Danielle, down there, started a family. And after about 7 years, I was sensing God was maybe doing something different, wanting to do something. So I was saying, God, I'm available. Whatever you want me to do. If you want us to stay in Houston, great. If you want us to do something else, that's great. And wouldn't you know, I get a cold call from some lead pastor named Jeff Boyer up in North Webster, Indiana, of which I had no idea where North Webster was at the time. Google Maps was pretty rudimentary back at that time, and I remember taking that virtual tour down 13, and I remember seeing Ace Hardware, a CVS, and a Dollar General. And I thought, God, well, you want us to consider moving to northern Indiana? Well, I'd already decided, God, I would be available for wherever, and that was 13 years ago. So obviously, that has worked out to some degree. I was the youth pastor for a while, and now I've served as the executive pastor. But I want you to know some things. I tell you all that because I'm not here to talk about myself this morning, because I know that my story is not going to be like your story. I've skipped a bunch of details in my story, both the ups and the downs. And I want to also remind you that I'm not a super Christian. I'm not a super pastor. I'm not perfect. I don't get everything right. There's some things I think I do well in the Christian life and some things that I do not. But one thing I've always tried to be good at or faithful at is being available to whatever God would have. So for me, that meant being a pastor, serving him wherever he would want in a variety of ways, wherever he would call. And so looking back on my story, I don't know that I would have chosen to live in Houston. In fact, I remember visiting there one time and saying, you know what, I don't think I'd ever want to live in Houston. Well, then a year and a half later, I was living in Houston. So my point is I've always tried to make myself available for God, and that's what I want you to be thinking about this morning. Not that God's going to call you to move across the world or the nation, but what is it that God would want you to do if you made yourself available to him? We asked this question to some of our students this last week, and we put together a nice video so that we can show you how they would answer this question. So let's take a look.
God, I think, is not only just like being available in your schedule and making time for him to spend time with him, but also like being available like when he needs to use you, wherever that may be and whatever that looks like, being able to serve people whenever he places it on your heart.
Being available to God just means making time for him, not finding time for him, but making that time, because I think we just get so caught up in the world and life and our phones and friends, and we just get distracted and we don't find that time for God. And just sitting down, making that time, and reading the Bible, just worshiping him, praising him, going to church, like maybe with your friends even, like talking to God, and those things are so important. We need to prioritize these things.
Being available to God for me means being at his disposal 100% of the time, whenever, wherever he wants you, because we are his vessels, and I feel like he gets a chance to work through us, and we should be willing to do that at all times.
Being available to God means to me that I put my priorities second and I let God use me, whether it's on the football field or through work or just family and friends.
I think that one of the first steps to becoming available to God is knowing and accepting that he lives in us, for us and through us. And the second step would be just to build a relationship with him instead of just knowing him. I think to do that, you really just have to know that he is going to take control of all of the earthly things that are maybe like sitting on your heart. So instead of worrying about it on your own, just surrendering it all to him, the one who died for your sins.
To me, to be available for God means to just be here present in the moment. I think nowadays, so many of us, we want to focus on the future and what life can be like and what life will be like. And we also like to think about the past and how in the past we were so close to God or we were so happy then. But I think to be available for God means to just be present in the moment and open to what he has to say to us.
Being available to God means to be open for what God has planned for you. And when you're open for what God has planned for you, you're able to do great things through him.
My name is Josiah Boyer.
I am Mia Hodson.
My name is Addie Beasley.
My name is Cooper Garden.
My name is Reese Beasley.
My name is Keegan Hurst.
My name is Josiah Jones.
And I am.
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 Available for God.
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 Thank you. I like some of the responses. I wanted to specifically ask younger people because I think they answer that question maybe a little differently than we do as adults. But some of the things they said were like, I got to take my priorities and make them second to whatever God would be asking me to do. Or one of them said that it's not about finding God, it's about making time for God. And another one said, we are the vessels. We got to make ourselves available to Him because we are the vessels to be used in whatever way God would choose to use us. And so the question is, are you making yourself available to God? In your everyday life, are you making yourself available to Him? Because here's one truth that I want to share with you this morning is this. Jesus is calling. How will you answer? He's calling first and foremost for all of us to know Him. That's undoubtedly. God has been calling for centuries, for years, for people to know Him. We know that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that He's wishing that none should perish. So first and foremost, Jesus is calling us to Himself to have a personal relationship with Him. But then we're called to follow Him. This is known as discipleship, the process of getting to know Jesus, to becoming like Him. The Bible says that we should deny ourselves and take up our cross daily to follow Him. It's the process of becoming like Him, to be one of His disciples. So we're called to know Him, we're called to follow Him, but then we're also called to go for Him. Jesus said, go into all the world as He was ascending into heaven and sending out His disciples. I want you to be my witnesses, He says, both to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. All of us are called to go into the world, and then we're also called to be faithful, to persevere, to run our race, to finish well. And so as we think about these things, Jesus is calling. The question is, how are you going to answer? And one of those people in the Bible that answered that question, that made himself available, was the prophet Isaiah. We're going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And so here we go. This is a vision that Isaiah, God gave to Isaiah. So let's read together. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And the one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I will dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. You see, Isaiah had this vision of the Lord where He's seating in the throne. It says that the train of His robe filled the temple. Basically, the idea is that we're supposed to see that the Lord is holy, He's mighty, that there's no other room in this temple. His train filled it. And at this particular time in history, we know that King Uzziah was the king of Judah. He reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. Uzziah became king at 16. It said he walked in the way of the Lord. Not all the kings walked in the way of the Lord during those times, but Uzziah did. We know that Uzziah was a leper his entire life. He had to live in a separate house. But during this time in this vision, we see that Isaiah sees these seraphim, which are these mythical flying creatures, if you will. It said they had six wings. With two, they covered their face. With two, they covered their feet. With two, that they flew. In this vision, we can understand that to say that out of reverence, they were covering their eyes and covering their feet because of the holiness of God. In the Bible, the term seraphim means burning ones. I picture these mythical creatures on fire flying around the throne and saying to God, holy, holy, holy are You, O Lord. There is none like You. In this vision, while they're circling the throne and saying, holy, 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 Isaiah's vision, it said the foundations of the temple shook, and the entire temple was filled with smoke. Many commentators would say God did this for Isaiah to give him a tangible way to understand his holiness, his greatness, his mightiness. In this moment, Isaiah knew several things, but first and foremost, he knew that he was unworthy and he was unclean. And in the vision at this moment, it said these mythical flying creatures took a burning coal from the altar and they took it down and touched his mouth. It was a symbol of them taking away Isaiah's guilt and his shame, and it said his sin was atoned for. And at this moment, the Lord asked, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah responded, here am I, send me, with excitement. One thing we have to realize, and maybe you do know this, but being a prophet in those days was not a desired occupation. In fact, if you were a prophet that was going to stay faithful to God, that you were going to deliver God's news to his people, your primary role was to deliver bad news. This was true of Isaiah. His primary role was to deliver the bad news of God's judgment to his people because they had not been faithful to him. And God promised that he would do that. So it wasn't a desired position, but Isaiah was putting himself, say, God, I'll be available for whatever you want. We see that in Isaiah's lifetime, he experienced the destruction of Israel at the hands of the Assyrian Empire, and then more than a century later, Jerusalem would be conquered by the Babylonians. Yet in the midst of this, even though Isaiah was pronouncing God's judgment upon his people, he still had a message of hope, of which we know today is about the person of Jesus. But it wasn't a desired position to be God's prophet, and yet Isaiah was willing to go because he was making himself available to God. And this is why he responded in excitement, here I am, send me. Now I have a silly picture I want to show you. When we were at Indiana Wesleyan University, there was this statue. And that's Jairus and me. And this little plaque here says the commission. And it literally is this verse from Isaiah chapter 6 where Isaiah has the vision of the Lord. Here I am, send me. I had to take a picture of it since I'm preaching about it. But we took a picture with Jesus in the middle and these two doctoral students from IWU. Because basically Isaiah was saying, God, I want you to use me in whatever way you want. Because the truth is, Jesus is calling. So how are you going to answer? He's calling for you to know him, to follow him, to go for him, and be faithful to him. So what is it that keeps you from following him wherever, whenever, or to whomever he would call you? What keeps you from doing that for you? I have a few thoughts that I want to share with you today that may or may not fit where you're at or what you've been experienced, but I want you to be thinking about what is it that keeps you from making yourself available to God? The first one I thought about is this, that we can be unavailable to God because we can become so consumed with our own agendas, priorities, our goals, and dreams that we don't even consider what God would want for our lives. I want to just let that just soak in for a moment. I specifically chose several key words there because I think it can be a lot of those things. We're all different people, but let's just think about the first one for a minute, the agendas. Do we have any planners in the house today, people that like to plan, like you just get excited about planning? Anybody? You can raise your hand, don't we? Okay, we got a couple, good, all right? There's only a couple. I have a feeling there's some other planners that don't want to raise your hand, but planners, man, they like to have an agenda, right? They like to have a list. They have like lots of lists, and things get checked off the list. I can be a planner, but I prefer not to be at times. I like to kind of fly by the seat of my pants, but my wife, she's a planner. And so there's always lists, there's always things, there's always agendas to do. And sometimes, not all the time, these things can hinder us from maybe being available for what God would have. Why? Because they didn't make the agenda. We get so consumed with coming up with our agendas and our points, our tasks, things that we got to do, that if God were to say to you, hey, I'd like you to put that aside and go do this, or we might say, well, sorry, you didn't make the agenda. Sometimes it's our priorities. We've made conscious choices to make some things more important than other things. And if those things don't match up to what God may be asking or opening the door, then maybe there's a conflict of interest there. But sometimes our priorities can get in the way. Not all the times. If they align with what God wants, then even better. But sometimes they can keep us from being available to God. Sometimes it's the goals that we set. You know, young people these days have to set goals from young ages to decide where they're going to go, what they're going to be about, what they're going to do, and I think those can be good things. But even as adults, we have goals in mind, things that we're striving for, and sometimes those can be a hindrance because if those goals don't match up to what God would maybe ask for us or ask for us to do, then it can keep us from being available to Him. Or what about the dreams that we have? What I mean is sometimes we have a picture in our mind, a vision, a dream of the person that we want to become, the things that we want to accomplish, the things that we want to have an impact or influence on. And sometimes those can consume us so much that we stop even asking that question, God, what would you have me do? One thing I notice in myself is that the older I get, I'm becoming less pliable to what God would ask for me to do. I become maybe less flexible, less open. You see, when I was 19 and 20 and 21, where I didn't have a family, I didn't have roots, I didn't have anything holding me, it seemed easier to say, God, I'm open to whatever you have me to do. I will go whatever, I will do whatever, whatever you want, God, I want to be open and available. But the older I get, I find that I'm a little less pliable to that. So I find it interesting when Isaiah in chapter 64 wrote, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay. You are our potter, we are all the work of your hand." It's this picture, this idea that God is the potter, He's our Father, He's molding us into who we want to be. Has anybody tried to make a clay pot? You remember back in like middle school maybe? Mine was terrible. Absolutely. It was so difficult to shape it and to mold it. To watch these people shape a pot in an artistic way, it's an impressive thing. And what God is saying, what we're seeing here in this, is that He's the potter. We're the clay. If we can put ourselves in His hands, make ourselves available to Him, He's going to mold us in a particular way, but it takes us trusting Him to do so. So I like how A.W. Tozer said it, "The more my trust rests in God, the less I trust myself." If we truly desire to live the crucified life, we must get rid of self-trust and trust only in God. It's a matter of trust for us to put ourselves in His hands, to put aside our own agendas or priorities or goals or dreams or whatever that might be, to say, God, I am willing for you to mold me in whatever way that you want. Trusting Him because He's the ultimate potter. We are the clay, putting ourselves in His hand. And one of the only ways that we can do that, and again, like Tozer said, the man who would truly know God must give time to Him. There's no quick step to discipleship, no easy answer, no quick thing for you to do to become like Jesus, except for us to simply give time to Him, to spend time in His presence, to be available to Him. And so are you making yourself available to God? Are you able to set aside your own agendas, priorities, goals, and dreams to say, God, whatever you want? Because my concern is this, is not only do we not consider what God would have, I think sometimes we just stop asking the question. It's easy for us to have our own list of things rather than putting ourselves in God's hands. The second thing this morning I think that keeps us unavailable to God is that we can allow our sin, our shame, and our guilt to ruin our lives. We give in to short-term pleasures, and we reinforce the idea of our unworthiness before God. You see, we know, we're smart people, we know that sin separates us from God. We know it here in our mind, we know it in our experience. We know that shame can keep us captive to the enemy. We know that shame can keep us captive from moving forward. We know that our guilt can hold us in the past and keep us from moving forward. And yet we still do these things anyways. And why do we do them? Well, the easy answer is because this side of heaven, we're still sinful people and we're not going to be perfect. But we know up here that sin does these things, shame does these things, and yet we still participate in them. I don't know too many people that would boast in them being a good person or a great person, or they're God's gift to mankind. I know a lot of people that are extremely aware of their unworthiness and sinfulness before God. But I've seen this have two different outcomes. One, a person in their sinfulness and their knowledge of their unworthiness lets them push themselves farther away from God. They won't step foot in a church. They won't be around a pastor. They won't pick up a Bible. They won't do any of those things because they know that they are sinful and unworthy. And the result is they don't want anything to do with God, and they believe God doesn't want anything to do with them. But the other is a different outcome where somebody's aware of their sinfulness. They see God in his holiness, and instead of pushing themselves away, it draws them closer to him because they understand that even though God is holy, he's also loving. And he's also patient, and he's also forgiving. And in that process of them seeing their unworthiness, they confess to God about their sinfulness, which is us just agreeing with God about what he already knows about us. And that draws us closer into his presence. This is what happened with Isaiah. He saw this vision of God in his temple, his holiness, the seraphim flying around saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And in that moment, he knew he was unworthy. He knew that he was full of sin, but God forgave him as Isaiah confessed to him his unworthiness, and in that process drew him closer to himself and ultimately Isaiah's calling as a prophet. And so we got to be careful about allowing our sin and our shame to separate ourselves from God and pushing ourselves from his presence. I like how the Apostle Paul wrote it to Timothy when he said, "In a large house there are vessels, not only for gold and silver, but also for wood and clay. Some are for honorable purposes, and some for dishonorable. If a man cleanses himself from the dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work." When we have this vision of who God is, that we understand that he is holy, that we are not, that he loves us, that he wants a relationship with us, it can draw us closer to him and we can be his vessels. It's this idea that God has cleansed us of our shame and of our guilt, and we've made himself available to him to use in whatever way that he would choose. And one of the ways that we can maybe understand, are we in that place? Are we drawing closer to God? And Tozer wrote it again. He said, "What we think about when we are free to think about what we will, that is what we are or what we will soon become." You know, when you're just thinking about things and thinking about life or the future, does your mind gravitate towards the things of God, or are they more towards your agendas, your priorities, your sin, your shame? What we think about when we are free to think about is what we will soon become. Well, the third thing this morning I think that can keep us unavailable to God is this. We want to know all the answers or the outcomes before we take that step of faith. But here's the ironic part. If we knew all the answers, then it really wouldn't be a step of faith because we'd already know the answers. If we knew the outcomes, then it wouldn't be a step of faith. It would be us just following through with what we already knew. But one of the ways it keeps us unavailable is that we want to sometimes know those answers. So some of the questions that I think we ask might be, "God, if I made myself available to you, where are you going to send me? God, if I made myself available to you, what am I going to say? If I made myself available to you, will you take care of me? Will you meet my needs? Can I earn a living? God, if I make myself available to you, can I do it what it is you are calling me to do? Do I have the ability to do it? God, if I make myself available to you, what are other people going to be thinking about me? Or God, if I make myself available to you, am I going to be alone?" These are all questions that I've asked at different times in my life, at different seasons that I've wrestled with. And maybe you've wrestled with them too, but One of the things that can keep us unavailable from doing what God is calling us to do is if we want those answers before even taking the step of faith. Because remember what I said earlier, Jesus is calling. He's calling every one of us, people in this room, people outside of this room, first and foremost to know him. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I want you to know he's calling. He wants to have a personal relationship with you, one that is vibrant, it's personal. He's calling you. He wants to know you personally. But secondly, he wants us to follow him. If you haven't been following Jesus or being faithful to becoming more like him, being a disciple, then today's the day to begin that journey with him. And he's also calling us to go for him. In this place today, maybe God has put somebody or will put somebody on your mind. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Somebody that he wants you to go to. And then he wants us to be faithful to him as well. I want you to know this morning that if we call ourselves a Christ follower, if we put our faith in Jesus, then these are non-negotiable things. To know him, to follow him, to go for him, and to be faithful to him. I know that not everybody is calling, God's not calling everybody to be a pastor. Maybe he is. Maybe he's calling some people in this room to be pastors. But I know he's not calling everybody. He's not calling everybody to be missionaries, to go all the way across this world. But maybe he is. I had a professor in college make the point, kind of discouraging us young people, maybe about considering ministry. He said, if you could do anything else besides being a pastor, you should go do that. Because he understood some of the struggle that it takes to be a vocational pastor or even a missionary. But he wanted us as young people to wrestle through this idea. Is God calling you to be a pastor? But see, God is calling us to do lots of things. He's calling us to go, and it begins right here. It could be a family member. I think first and foremost, God is calling each one of us to be his witnesses in our homes, to the people that know us, the people that see our both ups and both our downs, that he is calling us to be witnesses there. And then he's calling us to be his witnesses in our communities, in our neighborhoods, to the people that know us, to the people that like us, the people that don't like us. Then he's calling us to be witnesses in our workplaces, your coworkers, your bosses, the people that you spend time with. And then he's calling you to be available, whoever you would meet along the way. So Jesus is calling. The question is, how are you going to answer? I like how D.L. Moody wrote it or was quoted. He said, every place where God leads, there is your field. Everywhere. You're going to walk out of here today and you're going to go somewhere. Maybe that's lunch. Maybe that's to a friend's house. Maybe it's to family. But wherever that is your field. It is your mission field. It is to where God is calling you. And the question is, are you going to be available for him? The thing is, we don't know all the answers. We're not going to know all of them. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a step of faith. But I know that God is calling. Jesus is calling. And the last thought I want to leave with you today is this. Our capability is determined by our availability. Our capability is determined by our availability. Here's the truth. You don't have probably what it takes to do all the things that God would call you to do in and of yourself. It's only when you put yourself in his hands and make yourself available to him that you can do the things that he wants you to do. And so it's not until we get to that place that we make ourselves available to God that we then become capable of doing what he is calling us to do. The truth is, the reality is, in hindsight, it's always 20/20. I probably should have never left Wyoming and chosen to go to Oklahoma for school and then go to Texas and then go to Ohio and then end up in northern Indiana. I'm a slightly introverted person and I like being around friends and family. In and of myself, I probably should never have done that. But I decided early on that I sensed God was calling me to something else, to be available to that, and I've always tried to do that. And so the question is, are you available for God? Because he is calling. And the question is, how are you going to answer that? And so as we sing this last song, I've asked the team to sing this particular song because it proclaims some truths. First and foremost, it says, if we know Jesus, then we're his. We're his undoubtedly. There is no question. It is a sealed thing. Like he knows you, you know him. But then there's another part of the song that says, God, here I am. Whatever you want for me to do, here I am. I'm making myself available to you. So as we worship through this last song, I'd like for you to think about how you're going to answer that question. Are you available to God? So would you stand together as we participate together in this final song of worship? I am yours. is I have no idea how God's going to use you. If we make ourselves available to Him, we both have younger people and older people and professional people in here, people of all different types, and we have no idea how that's going to be. So I'm excited that maybe you would even consider this morning saying to God, I'm willing to be used in whatever way that you would call me to be used to make ourselves available to Him. If you do that and you end up having a cool story, I'd ask you to just share that with us so we can just celebrate together. But I'm excited about that because it's going to mean something different for each one of us. Would you pray with me as we close today? God, thank you so much for being faithful to us when we are not. Thank you for being patient with us, to being flexible, God, for still calling us to be used by you. You have absolutely left us here for a reason, God, and that is to be your kingdom workers, as we talked about earlier. And so help us to do that, God, as we put ourselves in your hands. Lord, use us in mighty ways to build your kingdom so that you might get the glory because you are holy, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for giving your life on a cross for us. I pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for being with us today. I hope that you have a blessed Sunday.